This is Studio 360, and I'm Kurt Anderson. The interior designer Mario Boada is often called the Prince of Chintz, and he loves it. In the 1970s and 80s, he made a name for himself creating these opulent, old-fashioned, English country-style interiors for the rich and famous. He's designed for Jacqueline Onassis, Barbara Walters, Henry Kissinger, and for the White House. When you meet him, he can't wait to introduce you to his friends.
Would you like to meet my life partner?
Well, who is your life partner?
He's right here. His name is Harold.
Well, this is the famous Harold the Mechanical Cockroach.
Yeah.
And he fell off into my hand. Harold is a little plastic bug, something you'd get at a joke shop.
This is not a cockroach.
What is it?
This is a water bug.
They're more horrible and horrifying.
Oh, yeah. Horrendous. But they taste good.
Yeah. It's that kind of thing that's made people fall in love with Mario Boada. A huge new book chronicles the last half century of his career. I met up with him on Manhattan's Upper East Side at a swank neighborhood bistro called Swifty's. He designed the interior, which included acquiring the many antique portraits of dogs that hang there.
My father was a dog. Big bark.
Really? Know. So this and is your homage mother, to your father?
Yeah, exactly. I always loved dogs. I think I had a dog once, and he was a bad boy, and I couldn't deal with it. I love them on the wall, but I think it's unfair for me to have a dog because I'm too lazy to walk them.
So you have paintings
on them. So they're all on the wall, yeah.
I have a question for the master of interior design. Lighting, it seems to me, is a crucial thing that is really hard to get right, both to make the fixtures look good, to make the lighting look right. Have you figured that out?
I hope so. I mean, I've been doing it for 50 years.
Yeah.
But people don't understand. The big thing they don't understand is scale, proportion. They get it all wrong. Don't understand color.
So what do they get wrong about scale?
The furniture, the size of the sofa, the size of the chairs, size of a cabinet. And, you know, I've done rooms that are like 12 by 14, and you put a four-poster bed in there, and the room looks huge. And the bigger the piece in the small room, the bigger the room looks. It's weird.
That's counterintuitive.
And you get a large room and put a lot of little things in it, and it looks ditzy. It's all about scale.
When we suggested, maybe we could have this conversation in your apartment, that wasn't an idea that you wanted to do.
You wouldn't have been able to get in.
Really?
Yeah, because I'm a clutter bug.
But I've seen pictures of your beautiful apartment in this book. It looks perfectly styled.
That was 12 years ago.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And you're kind of a pack rat?
I'm a pack rat.
I'm called
a hoarder.
You qualify?
I qualify as an attractive hoarder. I can see my things and whatever, but I hate dusting. I think of dust as a protective coating for fine furniture. Although my furniture isn't fine, the dust is important not to, you know, wear out the finish.
But you have also talked very seriously about going for looks that look as though things were collected over time.
And
beyond dust, I mean, objects and a life lived.
Well, I think as a decorator, you want to make the house or their apartment, you want it to be a stage setting for them to act their lives out against. And you wouldn't put Blanche Dubois, Streetcar Named Desire, in an old coward setting designed for living.
Right.
If you know what I mean.
I do.
So what you have to do is you really have to see how they live. I used to be able to, when I was younger and had more time, I'd stay with people in their houses in the country for a weekend to get the idea of how they used it. And you learn a lot that way.
Sure.
But basically, we're set decorators. And you have to remember you're not going to live there. So whatever makes them happy makes me happy.
In the 12-year-old beautiful pictures of your beautiful apartment in this book, it's full of this blue and white porcelain.
Yeah, porcelain pottery, Delft, yeah.
What is it about that makes that part of one of your hoarding
objects? Well, the cover of the book is blue and white and yellow. When I was 10 years old, my mother's brother married an Irish girl. Now, you know who that is, an Italian family to have an Irish, right? Not too good. Not too bad
either. That happened in New York a lot.
Not too bad either. But yeah. Aunt Lily was lovely, and her kitchen was blue and white and yellow. And I said to my mother, our house is Art Deco, all white walls and boring. And I said to my mother, why don't we have this combination, blue and white and yellow? She said,
as a child, you said this.
Yeah, I was 10 years old. She said, too Irish. I thought, that's my dream. So my third apartment was yellow, white, and blue.
So this Mario Buada as a child fascinates me because you also were buying antiques as an 11-year-old?
Mm-hmm. I bought a writing desk that was in the 18th century, and it had a slant top, but it was all inlaid. When you lifted it up, it was all compartments inside, ink wells, all kinds of stuff, and pink, typical of the 18th and 19th century. And I bought it on the layaway plan, 50 cents a week. And the dealer, by the time I got to $8, he said, take it home and just pay me every week out of your allowance.
So and this is in the late 1940s.
Yeah, I was 11 years old, yeah. So that would be 1946.
Yeah. So here we are in the late 40s, early 50s, Staten Island, New York. I wonder what your parents and your friends and family thought of this child who was fascinated with doing this decorating at age 12 and 14.
Well, I've been seeing a psychiatrist ever since.
But did they think you were odd?
No, not at all. Not at all, because, I mean, they just didn't like old things. And then my mother died when I was 23. My dad remarried. I had to move out, so I put it all in a warehouse. And I went to get it out a couple of years ago, and there's... Amazing, the memories, you know, of all these things that I collected. Yeah.
And your father never, I've read, was not a big proponent of your profession.
No, he wasn't too happy about it. But I studied to be an architect, but I didn't like it. I went to school for 9 weeks.
At the Great Cooper Union.
Union, yeah. And my grandfather built houses, and his son was an architect, but he died when I was 5. And he thought I'd be the architect next in the family, but... Didn't work out.
And your father was in show business. How dare he think badly of you being in
the
decorating
business? Well, it wasn't badly. He just didn't understand what I was doing. And when he married, my mother died at a young age, and then he remarried 2 years and married again for 25, and he went on his honeymoon down someplace in the islands. And there was somebody on the boat, and they said, Buada, are you related to that famous decorator? And my father said, who? He said, Mario. He said, is he famous?
Really?
He didn't know. He didn't have a clue.
So was that at least later in his life, he finally realized that you were a big deal?
I hope so. I don't know. Anyway, he was a good guy.
So you start your business as a young man in 1963. As the 60s happened, you already had this kind of conservative aesthetic.
Well, it was chintz. Lee Joe for floral chintz.
So did you feel like a rebel against the late 60s when the late 60s happened?
I didn't, but my colleagues, they all did. They all laughed at me because I was doing ruffles and bows. And
so, and as 1968, 69, 70, and all that happened, you just stuck to your, I love this beautiful old stuff.
That's the way it was. I liked it. And all of a sudden in the late 70s, it started coming into fashion. And the 80s were that English look and the new money and whatever, and it was... Amazing how most decorators went that way.
Well, the world caught up with you. I mean, starting in the 70s and into the 80s, suddenly the retro anything was acceptable, and suddenly you were the king of that.
King, that's good.
Or a prince.
I'm the prince, but that's okay.
Prince of Chintz, people started calling you in the mid-80s. Did that bug you?
No, that was Chauncey Hell, who did that on Live at 5.
A local TV culture.
He's still around, and he's a character. And he walked into my room, and he said, Chintz, Chintz, Wentz, Prince, Prince of Chintz.
Yeah.
So, of course, it stuck.
It was a brand.
Yeah, it was a brand, yeah.
And so when you meet somebody, you get a sense of who they are, you see their house. Okay, then you're faced with these blank rooms. What is the process? How does it begin?
You know, you have to be an actor. You have to make believe you like them, you like their husband, you like their furniture, you like their bratty children. Then you've got to be a psychiatrist to figure out what they like and what they don't like, why they don't like plaid or stripes or sisal or whatever. And then you have to be a lawyer to collect your money. So it's actor, lawyer, psychiatrist, decorator.
And is it always acting? I mean, you spent a lot of time the last 50 years hanging around rich people. Do you like rich people?
I like poor people, too.
Yeah.
They have taste. I mean, today you can do a job for very little money. There's such great stuff out there. Places like Crate and Barrel, Pottery Barn. I mean, they copy Ballard. That's another one. Horchow. I mean, they have great stuff at great prices. So you don't need a fortune to have taste or to have an attractive house.
How much do you think your success, beyond your talent, your eye, your knowledge of history and all the rest, how much of your success has been attributable to the fact that you are this fun, irreverent, nice guy?
Well, it helps. It helps when a client is giving you a difficult time to change the subject with a joke.
Yeah.
You know, to make them think about something else. It's all a joke anyway. And the point of, you have to like what you do and like the people you're working with. And This is not brain surgery. It's decorating.
Yeah. It's been a pleasure.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you. Mario Boada, 50 Years of American Interior Decoration, is out now. And you can see some images of Swifties and some of Mario's other work at studio360.org.
Anytime you want to borrow my toupee, let me know. But you've got a full head of hair.
So far.
Oh, you're going to have that forever.
Yeah.
Last night I got dressed up, pretended I was on the town. As long as I can dream, it's hard to slow this swinger down. Counting flowers on the wall. That don't